Father in heaven, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we thank you for the song in the offertory that we have been reminded of. And may it be the prayer of each one of our hearts, the expression of each one of our hearts. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. We enter into a new year that we have no idea what will transpire, what the events that we will face in each one of our lives, the joys that we will face, the sorrows that we will experience. But through it all, we know that you have promised to be our strength and our help and our safe place, our refuge. And so may each one of us in these moments standing before you determine that whatever transpires in our lives through this year, that we'll still believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. We'll still obey you. We'll still follow you. We will still trust you to see us all the way through. And now we pray as we open your word together that you would captivate our thoughts, the motivations of our heart, to the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are. Day number 6 of 2019. You know what? I just noticed I made a mistake in my notes. I put 2018. I'm not in that habit yet. 2019. How many of you stayed up until midnight and saw the new year in? Oh, many of you. Well, Joan and I did, but it was by accident. We fell asleep on the couch. Woke up about 6 minutes after the new year. Leaned over and gave her a kiss, said, Happy New Year. She said, Already? She said. Earlier in the evening, one of her comments was, You know you're getting older when even your children have stayed home. In their own, they're called parents, right? And with their little ones. You know, an optimist, they stay up to welcome the new year in. A pessimist stays up just to make sure the old year left. It would be understating the obvious to say that this past year we have witnessed the world get a little bit crazier. How about a whole lot crazier? And a whole lot more dangerous. It seems that the rule of law in countries founded on the rule of law can be set aside by the whims of political leaders all too easily. In a day of privacy commissions, we have to ask, what really is private when our own government wants to give Statistics Canada free access to the private banking records of Canadians? One might conclude, Canada's going to pot. You missed that, didn't you? I still shake my head. It was reported recently that Facebook is selling the private information and communications of subscribers. What's not supposed to be for anyone else's eyes. You can't trust your privacy. You must guard it. I upgraded my smartphone. So I did. This new one sends me messages. Oh, you were at First Baptist Church. How would you rate your experience there? They asked the right guy. Actually, I don't respond to those questions. I don't want them to have a reason to keep on. Coming down the highway this morning, for example, like once I got here, because I didn't look at my phone while I'm driving, I promise you, I don't do that. When I got here, got into the office, what do you think of frescues? You know, they're on the opposite side of the highway. We didn't stop there, we just came by the place. What do you think of frescoes? How would you rate them? Make some of this, what we read in the book of Revelation seem all too close to home, doesn't it? By the way, If you believe that your privacy, you know, the stuff that's supposed to be anonymous, you know, they say, well, this is anonymous. Those of you with smartphones and you know that they're collecting this information. If you believe that, I have land for sale in Florida. We live in a crazy, confused world where wrong has become right and right has become wrong, where lies and fiction are the new truth and the alternate news. The world is changing. It's changing at a rapid pace, and it's picking up like this exponentially. There have been more changes in the last 2 to 3 decades than in the previous 300 years all put together. What will this year hold? Only God knows that. But I want to give you some really accurate predictions for 2019. Here they are. I'll give you 10 really accurate predictions. You can count on them. The Bible will still have all the answers. Prayer will still be the most powerful thing on earth. The Holy Spirit will still be at work. God will still honor the praises of his people. There will still be God-anointed preaching all around the world. There will still be singing of praise to God, and God will still pour out blessings upon his people. And there will still be room at the cross. Jesus will still love you. You can count on that. And Jesus will always save whoever comes to him. Whoever. Amen? Amen. Amen. So who's really in control? You want to believe it. What do we do as his people? Well, someone wrote, till the nets are full, keep on fishing. You know? So I don't get too worried about what's going on in the world, because it only takes your energy away from what God has for you to be concerned about and working at. So how should we start the new year? For the believer, the very best way is right here at the communion table. The Lord's table is a place of remembrance. We come to this table by the command of the Lord to remember the great cost that Jesus paid on the cross for our salvation. The Lord's table is also a place of forgetting and forgiveness. It's here where we're reminded once again that our sins, regardless of how great they may be or may have been, that if we turn away from them and seek his forgiveness, that they are forgiven, and that he forgives, and when he forgives, they're gone. And he forgets them, and they don't need to be remembered again. Communion is a time, first of all, then, to remember. So as we begin this new year, I challenge you, take a moment. Reflect on the year that has now entered into the pages of history. These times are important times of reflection. Reflection is also an important part of every Sunday, the day of rest that God gives to us. Part of his intent in that is it's a time to reflect, or to reflect on the past week, on the mistakes or the successes or the decisions that we have made about our lives and who we are. It's a fine-tuning experience then as we look forward. Well, what should you remember about the past year? Let me suggest you, first of all, need to remember the blessings of God that he has poured out upon you, even in the difficult times. As I was thinking about this in preparation, I was reminded, Sue, where did you? There you are. I was reminded of the song that you have sung from time to time. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're here? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Don't think of God's blessings as only those things that you rejoice in and are glad for. Sometimes his deepest blessings come through times of difficulty and pain. Think about the blessings of God in your life this past year. Remember, too, the faithfulness of God, that saw you through the tough times when there were tough times. But the faithfulness of God each and every day to you, for the word of the Lord is right and true. Say it with me. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Psalm 33. And also, take a moment as you enter into the new year to look back over the year and review the lessons learned. The lessons learned. In his amazing, because you wouldn't want to forget a lesson learned. Because it's not really learned, right? In his amazing speech, following the rescue of the 33 trapped Chilean miners back in 2010, the president of Chile said this: "What has ended as a blessing from God began as a tragedy." And he attributed the success of that rescue to 75% miracle and 25% science. Now, isn't that the right balance? That's the right balance. When was the last time you heard a world leader speak those kind of words? So what were your blessings in this past year? What were your challenges? What were the lessons that you learned? What do you need to give thanks to God for and for his faithfulness to you in all of that as we come to the table? Think about these things. Remember them. Jesus invites us to his table this morning as an act of remembrance. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Remember as you take the bread. His body was broken for you and for me. Remember his suffering on the cross, the mocking that he endured for you. As you take the cup, remember that that represents to us a reminder of his bloodshed, that he was obedient to the plan of salvation, even to death. Death on the cross, where he allowed his very life's blood to spill out there for you and me. He didn't have to, but he did. In a church that we pastored before heading off to Nigeria, our next door neighbor was a retired OPP sergeant, Doug McCockerty. Now, I don't see, is Don Johnson here today, Ralph? Is Don here? Where are you, Don? My eyes are a little slow. There he is, right there, okay? Don Johnson is a fairly new member to our congregation. He is a retired OPP staff sergeant. And when we visited together, found out Doug McCockerty and he were friends and so a mutual acquaintance of us both. And that was really cool. If you haven't chatted with this man back here, Don Johnson, yet, get to know him. He's got a few stories. But Doug McCockerty's favorite song he loved to sing at Easter time: "They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, 'Crucify him, he's to blame.' He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." When you come to this table of remembrance, remember what he has done for you as a Savior. Remember the wonder of his grace to you that saved you. Remember his work in you that has continued throughout the time that you came to him to this day. Remember his goodness to you in this past year. And in all of these things, give thanks. This is a time to remember, but it is also a time to forget. The psalmist writes in Psalm 103, I invite you to join with me in reading it, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, writes, and let's read it together, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Jesus, time and time again, said, your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1 writes, and again I invite you to read it with me, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know what the problem is? It's the reason I've had you read all these verses with me. Is that we find the truth of God's forgetfulness toward our sin difficult to remember. God forgets, but for some reason we don't. Are there things that you need to forget? Are there things that you need to leave in the old year and not bring forward into this year? Leave it there. Forget it. Leave it behind you. If it's something that's unresolved that you need to resolve, resolve it. Unless you do, it will not go away. No matter how hard you try to forget it, it will still work away. Do what you need to do to resolve it, whatever it is. Then and only then can you truly forget. Peter Buffington, in his article, Forgive or Forget, writes this, and I quote, our psyche cannot tolerate something being incomplete or unresolved. And I'll illustrate that. I'll come back to Sound of Music for a moment. You know, she taught that song, you know, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, you know. I don't dare try. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti. Okay? That's a little out of key. But you know what I mean. You go up the scale all the way to T and just stop there. What does that do to you? That just makes you feel, oh, because your brain is trying to do everything it can to resolve the unresolved. You need to hear the do, right? Did I hit it? I did. Whew. Should have taken music lessons. I did, by the way. A lot of them. Just not a soloist. So that illustrates what he's saying there. And I go on with his writing. When we complete something, the brain puts that in a special part of the memory, case closed file, where it's taken out of active status. When something is incomplete or unresolved, the brain keeps that file in active status. Even when we're unaware of it, our brain is seeking to come up with a solution to the issue so that the issue can be moved from active to inactive, case closed. That's why the memory keeps coming back. Maybe even wakes you up in the middle of the night. It's called the Zeigarnik effect. So now you know the name. You can Google it. You want me to spell it, don't you? Zeigarnik. There you go. If you're fast, you got it. Anyway. It is a part of how we're made. And I just use that to say this. Is there something that you need to resolve? Resolve it. Is there something you need to leave in the old year? Leave it there. Don't bring it into the new year. If you do, you're giving it permission to control you, to have its effect on you. See, starting a new year is like looking out on a fresh snowfall. No prints in it yet. Don't you love a morning like that? Sun shining across a fresh snowfall? We need to be reminded that we should be careful of the prints that we make in the new year. They'll leave a mark. What kind of a mark do you want to leave behind you in the year 2019? It's a time to forget. It's also a time to forgive. If you have confessed your sin, then God has forgiven you, and you need to forget it. Right? If God has forgiven you, just remember, if you can't forget it, it's either the devil or you who refuses to forget. Right? Right? Convince yourself, because that's the truth. Right? Right. So here is what I'm going to suggest for you for this year. Forget what God forgets. Forget what God forgets. If you have confessed your sin, past, present, Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. Resist the devil. He wants you to wallow in the past. Sometimes it's not your brain that's reminding you because of something you haven't resolved. You know, if it's a sin that you've confessed to God, it's done with. If there's somebody that you've harmed that you need to make something right, then that's something you need to resolve. Okay? But Satan wants you to wallow in the past. He doesn't want you to forget what you did back there. He does not want you to enjoy the victory of understanding that your sins are forgiven and they are forgotten by God. So resist the devil. And then forgive what God forgives. Perhaps you need to forgive someone in your life. Perhaps you need to go to someone to ask them to forgive you. Whatever it is, do it. If God is prompting you in your heart, do it. I want to share with you a most powerful illustration of forgiveness I have ever read. Came out back, I think I shared this with you some years ago, but it bears repeating. Stanley W. Green in the magazine Canadian Mennonite in September of 2000 recounts there the amazing story that comes out of South Africa immediately following the end of apartheid, as many people stood trial for the atrocities that they had committed in the name of apartheid. And here's the story. It takes place in a courtroom. A 70-year-old blind South African woman stood in the emotionally charged courtroom, listening as former police officer Vandenbroucke acknowledged his responsibility in the death of her son, how along with others he had shot her 18-year-old son at point-blank range and had partied with the other officers as they burned his body. 8 years after that, Vandenbroucke and others had taken her and her husband and had forced her to watch as they poured gasoline over her husband's body, tied up and lying on a woodpile. They lit it on fire as she watched. The last words her husband said as fire consumed his body was, "Forgive them." Wow. And now in this courtroom, the former police officer stood awaiting his judgment. Nelson Mandela's South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission asked the woman what she wanted in order for justice to be done. "I want three things," she said. "I want Mr. Vandenbroucke to take me to the place where they burned my husband's body. I would like to gather up the dust and give him a decent burial. Second, Mr. Vandenbroucke took all my family away from me, and I still have a lot of love to give. So twice a month, I would like for him to come to the ghetto and spend a day with me so I can be a mother to him. Third, I would like Mr. Vandenbroucke to know that he is forgiven by God, and I forgive him too. And I would like someone here to lead me to where he is seated, so I can embrace him and he can know my forgiveness is real." And as the elderly woman was led across the courtroom, the former police officer fainted. You can imagine why. Someone began singing Amazing Grace. And gradually everyone joined in singing Amazing Grace. Is there someone you need to forgive as you step into the new year? Is there something you just can't forget? You must forgive before you can truly forget. Let me ask you this question. Are there chains that bind your heart? If it's sin, confess it, let it go, leave it behind you, receive His forgiveness. If it's a behavior or a habit that has you bound, God will give you the victory if you ask Him. He has won the victory already. Satan is a defeated enemy and will be defeated in your life as you let God apply to your heart and your life His victory. Maybe you've entered this year with some bitterness in your heart. You might be angry at God for some reason. Whatever the issue, I promise you, He didn't cause the issue. But He has promised to be your refuge and strength in every situation that you may face. So let go of bitterness. Let God be God. And God will heal your heart. I promise you. Maybe there's bitterness in your heart towards someone who has wronged you. If that's the case, my simple challenge to you is this. Remember this South African woman and ask yourself this question. Is my hurt greater than hers? Puts it into perspective, doesn't it? So let grace break your chains and start this year with your hand in His hand. Would you stand as we sing with the team this great song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Then the deacons will come.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my
Father, we stand before You this morning and we must confess again that we are so amazed at the height and the breadth and the depth of Your love to us and of Your great grace to us. You are present here in our midst. And we pray as we come to this table of remembrance that it would be for us a time of remembering Your great sacrifice. Maybe there is someone here this morning who has not yet received Your invitation to freely receive Your gift of salvation and to invite the Lord Jesus into their heart and into their life. And I pray that in these moments that they would do that And in so doing, be able to receive the bread and the cup as their first act of a brand new life of walking with you. Redemption story, working out all over again. But Lord, we pray as we come before this table that you would help us to be mindful again of your great forgiveness to us. And as we revel in that, and as we're amazed at that and caught up in the wonder of that, may we tune our ear to hear what you would have to say to us and be obedient to you in all things. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.